Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Are we connected, Mr. Dennis?
To the best of my knowledge, because I'm hearing you, and I hope you're hearing me.
Oh, I always like to hear you. Very refreshing.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, what I have for you today, I've been hearing so many things about COVID-19 and the depressing nature of this disease. But as the saying goes, behind every cloud, there is a silver lining. Mm-hmm. As we know, in World War II, that was a very destructive war, but it brought many developments in the medical field, technology, transportation, and so on. And I'm just thinking that we should look at the lessons that should be learned from this coronavirus. For example, I've always thought that we put too many of our eggs in a single basket. That is tourism, for example. Mm-hmm. And we have examples of this, too. Barbados was basically an agricultural country. In the old days, we had cotton, we had tobacco, and later on, sugar. Mm-hmm. But because of our small size and because we were doing so well in those industries, everybody got into it. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the economies of scale, and therefore, we found ourselves squeezed out. Mm-hmm. And the same thing will happen with tourism. Because as you would probably, I hope, agree with me, that the profits from the tourism industry are less and less of those profits are being retained here in this country. So therefore, what do? You have to look for another source. There are two ways you can do it. One, you can reduce your dependence on foreign exchange, and therefore that will have the same effect as if you increase your availability of foreign exchange, or you can just continue to do the same things over and over again and find that your people are working twice as hard and the standard of living is declining. Now, what I am coming to, we have an opportunity here in the form of solar energy. This is a form of energy that is not depleting like fossil fuels, but we hear, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to be efficient by year this and year that. And then, you know what? You don't see any real action. For example, when I see those new buses on the road, you know, the ones with the electrically powered buses?
Uh-huh.
It tells me something. Why do we allow our importers to import these internal combustion engines, cars, vehicles all the time? Why don't we say to them, listen, you have to phase those out. So we're going to give you 10% each year. You have to be phasing out incrementally. So but by the target year, we should have most of our vehicles using electrical energy. Having said that, we have to prepare our workforce. I have heard on this program, oh, solar energy is high-tech. Now, let me say this. I have been familiar with solar energy from 1964, when Radio Shack would sell you a little something called a sun battery, which we experimented. I did with a little cell. So I know I came up with solar energy. Why can't we introduce this into our schools the same way? We say, oh, sign up to school and learn about tourism. Why do you have to treat the tourists well and so on? Why can't we, if we are going to look at the solar energy, why can't we start early and train our people? Because I believe that every time someone leaves our school and applies for a certificate as an electrician, he should have had some grounding in solar energy and should be quite capable of doing installation. The next thing...
But you know, before you move on, let me tell you what 90% of our problem is. The countries that we depend on to supply us with things, supply us with what we think is, one, easier to maintain, two, cheaper to get, rather than developing it ourselves. Because, for example, the same solar you talk about, we have developed and used solar water heaters for the longest while. How much of the electrical solar work that's being done, the farms are being set up, the solar farms are being set up, the units that are being placed on people's homes for individual consumption, the batteries being used to store the power. How much of it is local? How much of it is imported? And how much are we shifting the focus on, let's say, the same electric cars and buses that you're talking about, that does not depend on electricity generated by regular means, by fossil fuels, to charge them, so that that too becomes a part of the process of weaning the country away from dependence on fossil fuels? Because as long as we keep saying, okay, let's switch to, for example, electric cars, but people don't know that you could power your house off the electric car if power should go out, because we don't have that convertibility, or we haven't developed it ourselves, or we haven't imported it. We go nowhere, because what we'll still be doing is having the end product, but not the capability of developing it. Hold a second, we got to take a break. We're going to come back to this discussion with you. 4341-790, Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, Mr. Dennis,
Yes, sir, you're with me. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Mr. Dennis, I must thank you, because you are coming to a point that I was going to address. And I must say that you have a mind that I must admire. You remember Professor Oliver Headley?
Yes, I do. Yes,
right.
I do.
And he did a lot of pioneering work in this country. Unfortunately, he had an untimely death. Mm-hmm. When I was talking to you, I started to talk about the inputs. I talked about skilled labor. Mm-hmm. But I did not come up with a subject which I think we should look at seriously. But you have to have people to inspire Barbadians to realize they can do this thing. Yeah. This is actually manufacturing. There is no reason why, instead of borrowing money from the Chinese to build hotels or things like that, we could not get their assistance in helping us develop manufacturing facilities for the solar panels, for example. Mm-hmm. The inverters, we have people here, I'm pretty sure, if engineering people, if they were asked and they put their minds to it, they can develop the inverters. That's which converts the DC current from the mm-hmm. from the solar cells and develop it as 50 cycle or whatever so that we can use it.
Right.
The other thing is, I heard, we're going to have charging stations if we have all over the island, if we have electric cars or electric mm-hmm. trucks. Mm-hmm. That is not true. Barbados is a very small country, and all of those vehicles have some type of measuring device to tell you the state of charge of those vehicles. Mm-hmm. So therefore, where you may be in a country like in Europe or, say, Canada, where you may be doing the trip to Montreal from Toronto, 360 right. miles, mm-hmm. and you would necessarily have to
stop and recharge.
The range of your vehicle was 200 miles. Mm-hmm. You obviously have to stop somewhere. Here in Barbados, we is 21 by 14. So if you're going to make a trip like that, you would look and see the state of your battery, and you would make sure you charge it before you leave there, and it can probably last you a whole week. Mm-hmm. The next thing, I deplore the use of agricultural land for solar farming.
Yeah,
it paralyzes so all that land. And I feel with all the rooftops we have here in Barbados, we should take a very serious look at that and use the energy. Every single house in Barbados can generate more electrical energy than it can use in any given day. So those are things I think
I chuckle when you say that, for this reason. We complain that inside our house is too hot, and therefore we buy fans and we air condition the house. Well, why do you think the house is too hot? Because the roof that we have on catching the sun and pushing it down into the house. I mean, so what you say makes so much sense. I know there's a gentleman who called this program who was involved in the transport sector who said over and over that the area outside of just Stockholm here that's now being redeveloped for the vendors, that the transport board and even the other bus stand on the other side with all that rooftop, they should cover the area, just put up some steel structures and use it to generate power for the transport sector to make some money by selling that power back to the grid to help offset the cost of their operations. I haven't seen it being done yet. I saw in the newspaper that one of the representatives of the minibus sector, so the private transport sector, was saying they would like to have, you know, their own bus stand that they finance and build, I suppose, to use the rooftop to create energy and bring in electric vehicles and, you know, start the process. I would applaud them for doing it. But of course, people will ask, why? We have enough bus stands already. Just take over one of those that already exist, and so on and so on. So we always find the reason why we can't before we try to explore why we can. And it has cramped our style for years. But we keep developing the same mindset, and we keep clamping down on people who want to be innovative. And here's the other part of it. We do not understand how to protect our intellectual property. We do it with our music, and we're doing it with other things because we don't understand the value of intellectual property. Maybe it's not explained enough so that people don't understand. You started with television. Somebody had intellectual property in that. Then you went to color television. That's a new innovation. So you patent that. Then you went from curved TV to flat TV to now screen turning the other way. All those are elements of something as basic as television. But they're new innovations, and these new concepts represent new intellectual property. Let me just say this as well while I have the mic for a minute. Sometimes I need to just shut up when I'm on radio because I seem to jump the gun. I mentioned with the first call, I think, today, the question of homeless people and going in and out of shelters and COVID. And here's a WhatsApp message. On Monday, February 8th, the Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness was informed that one of our clients tested positive for COVID-19. The BAEH immediately activated its COVID-19 protocols and closed the building down, in addition to alerting all of the relevant authorities and ministries whom we fall under. The Ministry of Health's team, Dr. Anton Best, and the COVID monitoring unit arrived swiftly at the shelter and began contact tracing and testing of all employees and clients in the shelter. All employees and clients are now awaiting results. Out of an abundance of caution, the BAEH has closed the shelter. All clients are now quarantined in the building with our security team, and all employees have gone into quarantine as well. It is important to note that several clients left the building before the BAEH found out about the positive case, and these clients are among the general population. Given this, we have asked government to pause all public feedings while we assist the relevant authorities in finding those who had left the building. Our board, management, and employees remain committed to our clients, and we assure the public that the BAEH has been adhering and will continue to adhere to the strict COVID-19 protocols. Yes, sir.
Hello, Mr. Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Yes, what I want to say also, the question where you do not have your homegrown engineering, there's also the possibility of doing licensing. You can manufacture equipment under license, okay? Those mm-hmm. are things we can do initially. Mm-hmm. You know, the other problem that you raised, something very important about this question of intellectual property and whatever, but I will go further than that. I was at Niagara. I spent about a week at Niagara Falls, and I took the trouble to go visit one of the big research institutes, agricultural research institutes. So I wanted, there were two plant seeds I wanted. So, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. Why? All those things, they had them under some type of license, so you could not just take a sample of their plants to plant it here in Barbados, for example. Mm-hmm. You remember the history of Sea Island Cotton?
Correct.
A beautiful name, Sea Island Cotton. And that name was given to a foreign company without any getting anything out of it at all. It was just given away like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, these names have a value.
Correct.
So there's a thing that you're quite right. We have to look at the legislative environment when we're developing things, and so we protect them. Because we've had a lot of things. Take, for example, the sheep.
Black-bellied sheep.
We just export that, you know, mm-hmm. and anybody can have it. But mm-hmm. we don't put that under license. So these are things that we have to seriously think about. And therefore, when we're looking at this solar energy, and we don't have the capability of designing everything ourselves. We can ask the Chinese, well, guys, we will give you an offer. Could you come here and set up a plant? We just want you to distribute throughout the Caribbean or whatever. We will give you some assistance, and there, as for, we will get a spin-off on the island. Our people will be trained, and you go like that. So this is, we have to have a national will to move forward, but we have to stop looking at tourism, because after we come out of this coronavirus, you will hear me talk about tourism again. And as you notice, that the tourism has come to stop, and most of the construction that was to be done, you know, those guys are smart. They're saying, well, hey, we can do it sometime. But they're looking at the dollars and cents. So I don't think we should be just looking at tourism.
Let me just throw another one into the pot you raised. There was a guy from Israel who came to Barbados on a project with the Ministry of Agriculture, I think, if I remember correctly. And while on the beach, he was approached by one of our tourist amusement officers to purchase aloe vera in a bottle. He inquired about the plant. He was told about the plant. He was shown the plant, and he took the plant back to Israel. He developed a farm or farms in Israel that produced Barbados aloe vera that he was contracted by one of the big companies, you know, like Ponds and these people who send us their product in a plastic bottle, quote unquote, with aloe vera. That's what he did. Do you know if Barbados' aloe vera is produced in commercial quantities to be exported to Ponds and the various people in the United States that sell us their product, that we go into our supermarkets and buy in a plastic bottle that says hand cream with aloe vera, Vaseline with aloe vera, hair grease with aloe vera? Do we have it? But we grow in marijuana. But aloe all over the place. Tourist amusement officers still selling it in water on the beach to our guests so they don't get sunburned. Yes, sir. Sorry. Just had to throw that in. Because there's a special train, aloe vera with Barbados' name in it. And I don't know how much intellectual property Barbados has in that strain of aloe vera. The amount of aloe vera that goes into products, beauty products all over the world, if it came from Barbados, we shouldn't have to go to the IMF. We should be rolling in residuals. But anyway, yes, sir.
Mr. Dennis, could I cut in here?
Please.
Yes, I know about that aloe vera thing, because let me say this. I was on a long trip on an aircraft with a man who had a big farming enterprise in Mexico. They produce a lot. And what he told me is that the Barbadian aloe vera, there's several varieties of aloe vera, but the Barbadian variety is particularly valuable, and we have not developed it. I would also tell you something, that anytime you get a cut, you can check this out for yourself. You get a cut, go and get a piece of the aloe vera
and
rub it on your hand, and tell me what
happens. It helps the healing process. It closes the cut.
It will not turn out. Once that yellow scum is there, it will not turn out. Mm-hmm. And in a few days, if you twice a day for about 3 days, you're going to see that thing healed. That is also something. I wonder why in our hospital, why in our university, we don't develop these things and use it as simple remedies. We import everything we don't necessarily have to import. Just because we doubt ourselves. And there are people who would think that, well, why should they use aloe vera in a hospital? Let's get something from Johnson or Johnson or something like that. We have
that use aloe vera?
Barbadian aloe vera. This guy, he has a huge farm enterprise there in Mexico. He was an American, and he was telling me about all this. And he did say that our version of the Barbadian aloe vera, is the best. So I'm not surprised when you said that this has been a big industry in Israel.
Israel is in the desert, isn't it?
Pardon me?
Israel is situated in the desert, isn't it?
Yeah,
and we are supposedly a water scarce place, so we should have something in common. If aloe vera could grow in a place there's a desert, I mean, come on.
We have lots of water on us, but the thing is, we can use it, but we would have to have energy. Mm-hmm. We can generate that from the sun and all this. So there's lots of things that we can do, but you need to have the will to do it. And the confidence that we as a nation
And something called the financier.
It was really a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure hearing you too. Something called financing as well is important. Very important. And marketing, 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 and sales. We like to put it in a nice plastic bottle, put an attractive person on it with a smile, and it will sell in the supermarket. Better than the empty bottle on the beach with water in it. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You get the final word, I think.
Come to the top of the class, Dennis Johnson. You've spoken on energy.
Boy, the top of the class has got pelt.
You've spoken on genetic engineering. You've spoken about all drugs on the brain, and so on and so forth. But it's because of our 13.1 degrees north and 65 west that we can produce these things. It's called aloe vera barbadensis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, I heard something very worrisome this morning.
Oh, well.
In the luncher. When Minister King, he was very irresponsible even to entertain the thought of a crop over. Mr. Johnson, let me tell you something. If you look at it seriously, we are in March, April, May, June. 4 months. And you want to start or even look at it, just tell the entertainers, tell the fellas who love Carnival, let cool it. What I want you to do is come forward among the first set of people to take the vaccine. Mr. Johnson, it depends. We have to get our herd immunity, 65% and more. When you bring in tourists, because you be here, that crop over now has taken on more of an international involvement, the bans, et cetera, et cetera. Those fellas will get the vaccination, but we don't know how long, Mr. Johnson, immunity would be covered for.
Mm-hmm.
That is the tricky part. And this immunizing program that we are going through right now will only serve to be a trial. It is only going to be a trial. We have, and any time you bring together crowds of a certain magnitude, that is the petri dish for a new strain or a variant. We shouldn't really mix it the two, but anyways, that is the ideal situation. Mr. Johnson, I feel annoyed, and I know you would too, but you may not want to say it or show it. You might show it, but not say it. That the children, the little children, the seniors, those with underlying conditions, sacrificed 8 months. It's like you put in money in an investment and somebody come and fritter it away. It was frittered away, Mr. Johnson, through ledger and pledger. And crop over events, Mr. Johnson, are primarily that. The next thing is our children. You get on as if the children don't have a livelihood. The children have a livelihood as much, sir, as the hotels, as the hotel industry, as the music industry, as party goers, yeah, as supermarket chains. They have their livelihood. You know how many months now children can't get out to brownies and guides, haven't seen the teacher. And what is ridiculous, at one end, we heard Minister Bostic quite rightly saying, we have to get this rate down.
Done.
I scribble a few figures on my table when I'm working, when I hear the test results. And I could see it. All I got to do is glance at it.
So let me say this.
Not going below 7%.
But let me say this to you as we wrap, okay? And I got to do this because I know John got to get out at 1. Is it that we don't believe politicians? And that's what is confusing the message? That the message should perhaps be coming from medical practitioners? Why is it we're not getting the message? With all the messaging we're doing, there has to be a reason. And I just hope it is not political. Thank you for your contributions on this Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you, John. I had a good one. I hope you did too. And on behalf of John Stout the Lion and yours truly, have a safe and enjoyable rest of your day. Larry's up next.